And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if we have the Holy Ghost, it lives inside of us. So we ought to get excited. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own servant. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Now, this passage of scripture is one of the greatest stories concerning friendship recorded in the entire Bible. We have here David, the giant killer, and Jonathan, the son of King Saul. Jonathan and David makes a covenant with one another. And it involves an exchange of roles and an exchange of weapons. The role represents possessions, and the weapons represents provisions and protection. They made a covenant. This word covenant, it means to cut. David eventually is on run, and he flees the wrath of Saul. And Jonathan, we find, parted for the final time. And here are the words of Jonathan recorded in 1 Samuel 20 and 42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. So we see that Jonathan and David was not just in covenant with each other as covenant heads. They represented their entire household, all of their descendants that will follow after their lineage. Jonathan and his father, Saul, were killed by the Philistines on the Mount of Gibeon. And now many years has passed, and David, he eventually ascends to the throne, not just over Judah, but over entire Israel. And after he secures the borders of his kingdom, the next thing that David did is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 through 6. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Micah, the son of Abiel in Lodibah." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Ichar, the son of Abiel, was from Lodibah. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, One of Saul's servants identifies one remaining member of the lineage of Jonathan's named Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, he was living in a place called Lodabar. The name Mephibosheth means shameful thing. He was living in a place that means no pasture. He was a refuge. He had escaped across the Jordan when Saul's household was being attacked by the Philistines. Mephibosheth was a little boy. He is Jonathan's son. And his caregiver, fleeing the wrath of the Philistines, coming down upon the king's Saul, magnificent palace, fleeing down the steps, she trips. She fails, the weight crushing upon the legs of Mephibosheth. Now he finds himself twisted. He's a refuge, and he's living in a little hut in a desolate place named Lodabar. He's sitting there, and I can imagine that he's feeling forgotten. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, to let you know that the Lord has not forgotten you. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you speak through us. Use us as an instrument to speak to your people. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. To us who may have felt as if God has not been concerned about you. This message is specially designed to minister to somebody who may feel as though life has treated you unfairly. Maybe you are here and by your own admission, the devil has been playing mind games on you, trying to make you feel as if God is guilty of practicing providential prejudice. That you sat by and watched everybody else be blessed. That you sat by watching everybody else get theirs. You've seen other folks' children blessed. You see other children doing well in school. You see others like you who are struggling. But all of a sudden, their situation changes. There's a turnaround. Turnaround in their finances. And you watching this, and while you're watching, the enemy begins to whisper in your ears, God is not concerned about you. I want to talk to you tonight. And I know that this word may not be for everyone that's sitting here. But I want you to know today that God has not forgotten about you. If anyone ever had a reason or a right to feel as if God had forgotten about them, I want to submit to you that this young man that I mentioned in this text has. This young man by the name of Mephibosheth, some of us have never heard of him, let alone pronounce his name. Mephibosheth should have been one of the kings of Israel if normal procession would have taken place. Mephibosheth probably would have been one of the kings of Israel. This young fellow was the grandson of King Saul. He was the son of Jonathan. Again, if successorship of normal progression would have unfolded, Saul would have died, and Jonathan rose to power. Then after Jonathan would have died, kingship would have fallen on Mephibosheth. However, Mephibosheth soon realized that life doesn't always go according to script. In fact, I believe that there are those sitting under the sound of my voice tonight that can agree with me that life doesn't always go according to script. This young man finds out that life is hard, and sometimes it deals blows that will drop us to our knees. He finds out that life has a way of giving us blows that will shake the very foundation of our faith. I'm talking to somebody right now, right hand, who knows that life can hit so hard with blows that it will rock your entire world, that it will shake us. Life can catch us on the blind spots. Oh my God, life can hit us with what is not, never ever imagined in our mind or expected. Life has a way of dealing us unexpected blows. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And that is what is happening to this young man with Mephibosheth. Here is a man who is in line to be one of the king of Israel, but something happened. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 31, at one time, his father Jonathan and his grandfather Saul was fighting on the battlefield, fighting against the Philistines. And one day, his father and his grandfather were killed in battle. And I believe it was at that particular point that this young fellow's life was never the same. Into the green pasture. image.
Amen.
And God spoke everything into existence. And because we were created in His image and in His likeness, and He tells us that death and life is in the and leave them there. God is doing great things here. I say God is doing great things. He's doing great things here for the Bible. He's doing great things in all of them. This church is going to be one of the more people. Pray for us and Lord, forgive us for traveling mercy. We love you. Pray for us.